have my devices rolling, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. We're the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. This is a regular meeting, November 18th, 2021. It is 6 o'clock, and this meeting is being held via teleconference. There are five members on our committee, and to establish a quorum, we must have three, and I do see three of us present, so we do have a quorum. I'm welcoming everybody and calling the meeting to order. Now, please, everyone, join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. And Drew, would you mind leading us in a Pledge of Allegiance?
No, I wouldn't mind. Okay. Let me stand up, I guess. Now, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the Republic.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty and justice for all. I think that was it.
Very good. All righty. We're looking down our list here. The next item on the agenda is the announcements. Any announcements from my fellow commissioners?
I've just got one little thing. I don't know y'all been keeping up with the football, just growing by leaps and bounds. They're going to have four new courts up in Atascadero. Solvang's starting construction on some new courts. Cambria's got six. San Luis has at least seven, and Morro Bay has two. So in the future, we may have to look to add another pickleball court or two. But it's good that it's really maintaining its momentum.
Yes, it is. Will it say anything?
Bob? No, I have no announcements. It was great to see everyone at the city park tours a few weeks ago. That was nice. Beyond that, I have no announcements. It's nice to have winter weather finally. That's about it.
Okay. Very good. Moving on to the next agenda item will be presentations.
Mr. Chairman, if I could jump in really quick.
Okay.
Let's do staff announcements real quick if we could.
I'm sorry about that. My mistake.
That's okay. And I'm going to jump in first, Charlie, before we launch into the other slides that you have.
Sounds good.
Thank you. I just wanted to just talk briefly about a couple of programs and activities that that are taking place or have been had taken place. I'll start first with the Morro Bay Triathlon, and that was happening this last Sunday. Quite an event with over 800 participants, probably another 500 spectators and support people out there. So it was a busy Sunday morning. We relocated the Morro Bay Triathlon through our permit process and moved them from out in front of the power plant to the rock parking lot for their finish line and kind of after race party area. And then also the transition area was moved to the south side of the rock. So that really kind of drove everybody out, participants and spectators, out towards the rock, kind of relieving the north end of Embarcadero businesses for parking and whatnot. But all in all, I think the new location really served this event well. We have a few other tweaks that we're going to do and suggest for the event next year, but I spoke with the event coordinator, and he's very pleased with the new location. So we're looking forward to using that south side of the Rock more for other events as they come in. It's really been proven to be a great location for a number of different types of activities. Moving on to some new sports information. We would have our new recreation supervisor, Ken Zink, here, but he's busy right now forming youth basketball teams. So they have the meeting tonight to form their teams. So he'd be presenting and discussing this type of stuff, but he's busy right now. So right now we're looking at a little, let's see, 30 teams that they're putting together. So that's close to 250 kids right in there. We'll start with the coaches meeting next week, and then games will begin in January. We also made a decision in an effort to avoid any difficulties with COVID to program the whole league outdoors this year. So it's way different than we've normally done, but we're using outdoor courts at the local local schools, both here in Morro Bay and in Los Osos. And I think Hyukas as well. So it's going to be a little different, look a little different, feel different, but we're moving forward with just anticipating and trying to avoid any problems with COVID. And then we just wrapped up last weekend also our youth soccer program, and they finished up their season with the end of season tournament. We had over 200 participants in that league as well. So, busy time for youth sports, and they're doing a fantastic job, I have to say. That's what I wanted to talk about briefly, and I know we've got some other, visual aids there we're going to put up on the screen, and Hella can take it from here.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm going to talk quickly. I've got a lot of great stuff. First, I want to give an update on Kids Club. We started our program. We haven't met since, so I just wanted to update you guys. We started our program back in August when school started. We have about 65 families enrolled. We average about 40 kids a day, and honestly, I think we're adding a new family every week, so that's been really great. This week, we had minimum days. Del Mar Elementary had conferences this week, therefore they released the kids at 1 p.m., and that's 2 hours before we normally open up, so we were able to open up extra hours, accommodate to all of our families, and thank goodness my staff were able to kind of work their schedules around as they are college students and high school students. I got the opportunity to be out there this week because of that, so that was really fun. I feel like that was a bonus for me. We averaged about 50 kids a day, so it was a really busy week, but I know our families appreciate us opening up extra hours for those days. Another thing we're offering is during this next week, Thanksgiving week, the school is closed, and although the school is closed, parents still have to work. So we have offered our holiday hangout. We're going to be open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And we have a fun little week. We've got Exploration Day. We're going to do a cooking day. And then we also are teaming up with the sports department to offer a flag football mini camp that we'll be doing on the very last day. We're referring to it as our Turkey Bowl. So that is what's going on in the Kids Club Youth Services world. Next, I'm going to talk about our fall classes. In August, we brought back a majority of our fall classes, our community classes. We were fortunate that a lot of our instructors came back, and we were really excited about that. We have a variety, as you can see there. We've got a Zumba, we've got a freestyle fitness, Pilates, some karates, and what's nice is that some of them are in the afternoon and some of them are in the morning, so it kind of reaches everyone. We had had a large number come back at the beginning, and then about 2 months into it, the mandate about mask inside again came back, and unfortunately, we did. Our numbers went down a little, but we're starting to see more coming. And I really anticipate in January we'll have a lot more participants because everyone's on that goal to get fit again. So I invite you guys to check out our classes. Come in. We've got a great Pilates class that's brand new, Monday mornings and Friday mornings. So if you want to try that, that's a good one to just start slow. But then we also, if you want to get your heart pumping, Zumba with Carmen is really, it's very highly populated, and it's really fun. I've taken it a few times. So that's our fall classes. And then I want to talk about my favorite part of my job. Well, I don't know, one of my favorites. Is our events. I'm so excited that we get to bring back our community events for everyone. And number one is our annual holiday tree lighting celebration. That will be the first Friday in December, which is the 4th. We are excited to have some holiday performances from some of our youth programs. We are also going to have our cookies and cider. This year, the Senior Center has donated all the cookies. They'll be making them and then donating them, and out there as well, participating in the program. And then, of course, we'll have Santa, and he'll do our reading. He'll hang out with the kids, and then we'll have the lighting of the tree. So we hope to see you all there. And then our last event will be Breakfast with Santa, which is also one of our favorite events that we are able to bring back. Last year we did a drive-through. This year will be an outdoor Breakfast with Santa, so everyone will eat outside. Our whole event will be outside. We were able to work with the Kiwanis group. They're going to do the whole breakfast, which is really great. And then we're going to provide the rest of the stuff. We also have a hot cocoa bar that we're doing this year. It's the first time the foundation is doing that. And then we're going to do the elf workshop with crafts and gift making. We've got cookie decorating this year, gingerbread houses again, and then, of course, your photos with Santa. And that will be the Saturday after our holiday tree lighting, so the 4th. We're going to start all the events off early. That is also the same day as Lighted Boat Parade. So we think it's just everyone's going to have the start the holiday spirit right then. So we hope to see you out at all of these fun events.
Okay, hi.
One question about the classes at the community center. Are they like all ages? Are they relegated to specific age groups or?
These community classes, I apologize, my dogs are barking.
We're on Zoom, it's okay.
These classes are for everyone, really. These aren't just like senior only, or they're for everybody in our community. Of course, they're mainly geared towards adults. So we haven't brought very many children's classes back. Our karate classes both have children's portions of them that you can sign up for just children's karate. They call it beginners, most of them. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you brought, you know, your child over to Pilates, yeah, they'd be fine. And
well, that's what I'm wondering, really, because my daughter's 10 and she doesn't go to school on Mondays, so I'm like,
yeah, I've seen
might be more fun than yoga.
Yeah, I've been seen kids participate in the Zumba classes, okay, and as well as our Commit to Fit. So
yeah. Okay, thank you,
Angelica. I was giving stuff on my old-fashioned calendar here, and it looks like Friday is actually the 3rd. You have it the 4th on the fire. I think. I could be wrong.
Oh, let me see. I have it on my...
Boy, that made it through my eyes, too.
Uh-oh, mine too.
Well, when you use high-tech stuff such as a... like that...
Thank you for correcting that. Well, I will change that calendar right away.
Okay.
Breakfast with Santa is correct.
Breakfast with Santa is correct.
Yeah, I love pancakes.
Thank you, Drew, for catching that.
Drew's going to have breakfast with Santa for sure.
I love breakfast. Santa's nice. Well, he hasn't brought me that Lamborghini yet, but I still like him.
Santa's pretty cool. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Elegant, is the tree lighting in Triangle Park?
It is, yeah.
City Park.
Yes.
City Park?
Yeah.
Old-fashioned Kevin. Triangle Park. What the settlers call Dragon Train Days.
Oh, okay. And that's all we have for staff announcements, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Enough OKR announcements. We have finished. So the next item is our public comment period. Pursuant to Executive Order N821 issued by Governor Newsom on June 11th, 2021, this meeting is being conducted telephonically through Zoom. It's broadcast live on cable channel 20 and streamed on the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and to limit the spread of COVID-19 and to ensure the health and safety of the public by restricting human contact that could have spread the COVID-19 virus, we are not meeting in person. The Veterans Hall has not been open for this meeting. In fact, there is no physical location for the public viewing. Remote public participation includes correspondence between email and logging in, obviously, to our Zoom presentation right now. Do we have anybody for public comment this evening?
Thank you, Chair. Currently, I do not see anybody in the attendees, nor do I see any raised hands.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Next, we'll move on then. Next item is the consent calendar. And on the consent calendar, we have three items, A1, A2, and A3. A1 is the approval of minutes from the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting that we had on July 15th. A2 is the Recreation Services Division status report. And A3 is the Recreation Service Division participation report, July 2021 through October. Do I have a motion?
Yes. We have a motion to receive and file.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Well, seeing no one opposed, then we will receive and file A1 to A3. Next on our items list is business items. We have five business items this evening, starting with C1, Program Evaluation Aquatics. Mr. Carmichael.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go ahead and briefly discuss the program evaluation of our first half of 2021, and our aquatics coordinator, Katie Tucker, put this together, and she's not with us tonight. She has a second job. She's also a swim coach, so she couldn't join us. But basically, she outlined the operational days and activities that do take place, which include our lap swim, aqua aerobics, master's swim, and private and semi-private lessons. We really did well with the swimming pool during the COVID times, and really since it's open, it's been a fantastic part of our program here in a wonderful facility and very well used, not only by the high school, but also by the community. You can see the numbers that were listed as far as laps, and we had close to 6,000 swimmers over the 6 months. Our aqua aerobics class, surprisingly to me, and I don't know why I'm surprised other than it's a colder water that a lot of folks aren't used to for aqua aerobics, but close to 1,600 people. So yeah, that's near 250 people a month, and roughly about a dozen people participating every day. So it's very popular, and we're happy to offer that Monday through Friday. I did say I didn't think it'd be that popular, mostly because Cuesta College has aqua aerobics as well in the therapy pool, and that's a busy program that they have out there at Cuesta. But I'm just thrilled to know that we've got our numbers up that high and we're offering this program. We also are attempting Masters Swim again, and really it's a coached workout bright and early in the morning. I believe it's 5:45. Let's see, where'd that go? 5:45 in the morning. And again, it's coached. We lost our coach, Margaret. She had to move out of town, couldn't afford to live here, unfortunately. So we're looking, we do have a replacement right now. I can't recall the lady's name, but our aquatics coordinator, Katie Tucker, does step in every now and then and does provide that coached workout for the Masters as well. Close to 300 participants during that 6-month period. We're looking to increase the numbers there once the word gets back out that we do have another a coach that's willing to get up that early in the morning and head on out there. And then really, I think the biggest plus, as far as I'm concerned, with our swimming pool is our ability to offer swim lessons. And we did move into some group lessons even once the restrictions from COVID lifted. So you'll see we had three sessions of 2 weeks at a time. And that's basically took us through the summer. And now we've reverted back to the semi-private and private lessons. Very, very popular. Sundays are typically packed. Those are our busiest days. And that works out well for us, for the families, but then also with our staff, because the majority of our staff at the swimming pool are high school students. So they're not able to come on out Monday through Friday to offer the lessons. However, they are there on the Sundays for the public. So it's been a great program. You'll see in the financial section, we were able to recover over 100% of our costs. This is Katie's first report, and normally what we've done in the past was include some coordinating time in our reports. So that didn't make it in, which would have knocked our recovery down to right around 100%, which is what we were asked to do. So real happy with what we're providing and the ability to recover our costs. Let's see, that's what I had in regards to this report, and I'm happy to attempt to answer any questions that you might have.
Are you guys looking for more lifeguards? I mean, non-high school student lifeguards, or are you pretty set with what you have? Are you looking to expand those times if you had, you know, other options, or are you just kind of going with what you've got and...
Yeah, we're always looking for lifeguards. The whole county, as well as the country, is on a lifeguard shortage. So we're really happy to accept anybody who's interested in lifeguarding, and we do offer classes throughout the year. We're looking to, I believe, do another one this summer. But as far as expanding our times, we're restricted in the ability to offer programs based on the school's schedule.
Right.
So it's always a dance for us to squeeze in what we can when they're not using the facility. One thing I did neglect to mention, though, was the youth swim and water polo classes. We picked those up at the last minute for the high school. They were trying to put something together and struggled doing that. And within a week, we were able to put a program together and offer those 4-day-a-week sessions for 4 weeks. So very, very popular, too. And we had 170 participants for that program. I went back to that only to say, again, we're limited in what we can offer based on the high school's use of the pool. We're always looking for lifeguards, but one thing I wanted to point out was our the success we had with partnering with Morro Bay High School and San Luis Coastal Unified School District in offering lifeguarding class to certify high school students in a lifeguarding class through their career technical education program. Mm-hmm. We picked up. So we had 10 high school students in the class, taught them how to be lifeguards.
hired 9 of them. We're going to do that again this summer. We're meeting with the school district and the city of San Luis Obispo to see if they can mirror our program, which what we understand is to be one of the first ever we ever heard of integrating lifeguard training at a high school level.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. I've seen some of the same kids lifeguard over at Hardy Park, too.
Oh, so, good.
I mean, not obviously not this last year, but like in previous years.
Yeah.
So it's a great program that you guys have.
Yeah, so if you know of anybody who's not a high school student, send them our way, because we do need those folks. We do have a handful of college students that that provide lifeguarding for us during the week. Okay. And bless their hearts, because they're up at 5 in the morning opening up that swimming pool so people can get out there and lap swim. So, yeah, happy to take anybody on. And again, we will be providing some more training courses in the future to continue with lifeguarding. I know the city of San Luis Obispo had to cut classes back because of their shortages of lifeguards. County Parks was unable to open their swimming pools due to the same reason, and they had to do limited openings. So we are very, very fortunate to have a staff with as many as we have and who are as dedicated and loyal to our program as they are. So my hat's off to Katie Tucker, our aquatics coordinator, for doing a fantastic job. Any other questions I can answer along those lines? Okay. That's it for that one, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Thank you. May I have a motion to receive and file the report?
I'll make a motion to file, receive and file.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Do I have a second?
Second it. Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? I see no opposing, so let's receive and file C1. Move on to C2. Staff report the aquatics activities.
And I'll go ahead and take that one again, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you. And this was an item that was agendized a few meetings back from Commissioner Davis. Wanted to discuss aquatics activities here in Moore Bay. And so I went ahead and put together the staff report that really outlined what we do as a city in regards to aquatics activities. And just briefly, our big programs here, of course, is a swimming pool. I did list, lap swimming, aquarobics, swim lessons, and master swimming. We also have been looking at including a diving program. We had a coach on board, and then I believe she had a baby, so we're holding off on that until she's ready to come on back. But we're looking to get diving out there, which would be it's a real fun thing to do to offer to the community. Outside of our swimming pool, we do have our very popular junior lifeguard program, where there are a number of different programs found within the junior lifeguard program. Our beach program, we do a boot camp, which is really to help to train the volunteers who will be working with the program in the summertime. And then we also have a preseason pool program that gets the kids swimming before they try to jump back into the water in June. Oftentimes the kids, they'll be at the beach doing the swim thing, surfing or whatnot in the summertime. But, school rolls around in September. We don't touch the water for another, 6-7 months, and then whoops, we're right back into it. And it's very difficult. So we thought, what a great way, to get kids back in the water, get them swimming again, and then, hey, get ready, because here comes junior lifeguards. So that was a fantastic success as well. So basically, that's what we do as a city. And I believe the intent here is to, open up conversation with the commission here, to discuss other aquatic, opportunities here in Moore Bay. So I'm going to turn that back over to you, Mr. Chairman, and go ahead if you want to engage in conversation with the commissioners. It's all yours. Okay, you're on mute, Mr. Chairman.
I'm on mute. There I am. Well, that sounds very exciting. Any ideas of aquatics going forward, commissioners? Melissa, I see your hand. The real one.
I do. It is. Sorry. Maybe I could have pressed the button.
No, it's better to use the hand.
I have a few ideas. I think that as someone that grew up here, grew up surfing, still surf. I have a child that surfs, and I often bring many other kids to the beach to surf and partake in ocean activities like kayaking, paddleboarding, swimming, you know, just beach time in general. And I'm interested in figuring out if there are ways that the city could facilitate during the school year, like after school programs, of just having some beach time a couple of days a week after school, where, you know, maybe some of the high school kids or younger people that do junior guard, run the junior guard program, could also, you know, a couple of days a week, have a little beach time for kids, you know, for a few hours after school. And it could be a paid program, just like Junior Guards is. And, you know, it could just be even a little laissez-faire, you know, nothing super specific, just more like bring your kids to the beach, bring their wetsuits, bring a snack, you know, we'll play, we'll boogie board, we'll get out in the water. Because, you know, actually just as what Kirk was saying is, you know, for a lot of the kids, sometimes the only time that they really have a lot of water time is during junior guards during the summer. And then they don't get in the water at all during the school year. And, you know, we have a unique opportunity here in Morro Bay and on the Central Coast to offer up water sport opportunities for our kids. I grew up with kids that were sponsored for surfing, and some of them paid for college with that. And, you know, it might be a great way for our city to open up opportunities for these kids in our area that don't have other opportunities to have scholarships and things like that. And I think that just small little after-school programs might be a good way to introduce those things to our kids and, you know, keep them fit, keep them active. We live right next to the ocean. We should involve them in our ecology and our way of life here is the ocean. And I think, you know, I'm a big advocate for putting together an after school program for kids so that they can be water people, just like a lot of us are here. So, yeah, those are my thoughts.
Very good thoughts. Kirk, is there anything we can do to facilitate something like that?
Yeah, we can take a look at that. Unfortunately, most of our junior lifeguard staff are gone for the during the school year. They're college kids. But I do know that there's a handful of them that are still around, and we can certainly take a look to see if that's something that I could gather up some staff to put forward and kind of gauge the interest that way, just by putting the program together to see if we get any registrants, if there's anyone to register. So something we can take a look at, sure.
I have a question, Melissa. I think maybe I missed this part, but are you thinking of like as a paid program, right? Like families would pay?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Like it would be, you know, X amount per, you know, if it was like a once a week thing, it would be like maybe a monthly, like one, you know, one day a week for 2 or 3 hours. Because really, like, beach time isn't the same as, like, a one-hour ballet class or something, you know, or, like, karate. It's, you know, you have to make sure that there's time to, like, get to the beach, put all your stuff down, put your wetsuit on, put on sunscreen if you need to, you know, get your gear, and then maybe you have, like, an hour and a half of water time. So maybe the whole time could be, like, 2 hours or 2.5 hours. You know, and yeah, obviously it would be paid, and that would help offset the city's costs for covering insurance and people's time, obviously, because you'll have to pay a few teenagers or college age students or whatever, and insurance and whatnot. But hopefully, you know, it could be something where the city is not only, you know, the park department and the recreation department isn't just like having money to use for that program, but also other water programs that have to do with the ocean, not just the pool, but like watermen programs, water people, I don't know, programs, you know, like ocean going, like seafaring kind of things. I think that, you know, we just live in such a unique area that it's a little mind-boggling to me that we don't have programs like that, like just a little after-school thing. I mean, you know, it's right there. So, yeah, for sure, be a paid program. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like for me personally, I would be willing to pay $25 to $30 to $40 per time. So like I'd be willing to pay upwards of like $120 a month for something like that, or more even. And I think that if you maybe could talk to a few other parents that might be interested in something like that and gauge finances, I think it'd be pretty easy to work out, you know, how many kids equals how much money, like how much do you need for something like that? How many kids can you get enrolled, and how can you make it work for the city and the parents? So we have a diverse economic group here in Morro Bay too. So sometimes, you know, the people that can pay for the kids that can't. So, yeah.
That reminds me, I know there's a great program at the yacht club. It's the junior yacht club, and where they do have a program to teach you to sail. And they've got those little tiny boats out there, and then they have regattas and stuff. And gosh, I tried to get all four of my children to do that. And
they fill up fast.
Yeah, they fill up fast, but none of them would bite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I used to sail as a kid myself, so I was surprised that they didn't want to do it, and maybe because I was trying to get involved. I don't know. but that is another opportunity, and they do fill up quick, you're right.
Yeah.
But to be a member of the junior yacht club allowed them to have access to those little boats, too,
right,
all summer long. So
yeah,
that's a pretty cool thing. I should have included some of that type of stuff in my report now that I think about it. But
yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, and I like the idea there. So we'll take it around.
I think, too, you know, there's a lot of folks that move here from other areas that maybe aren't super familiar with the ocean. And so maybe they go for walks on the beach with their kids, but their kids are growing up here. And their kids are going to need to be familiar with the ocean, with currents, with waves, with surges, with tides, with all those different aspects of what it's like to be at the beach. What's it going to take? You know, you can still go body surfing or boogie boarding in the wintertime when the waves are big, but you need to be aware. You need to have skills. You need to know, you know, what's what and what's too much and what you can handle. And I think that, you know, it might be a good opportunity to make sure that there's good water safety and accessibility for our kids with the ocean. And
you just described our junior lifeguard program right there.
Right, but it's only for the summer, right? It's only for a few weeks in the summer. Yeah. So, and also too, I would mention that our junior lifeguard program is open to a lot of people out of the area, not just kids in Morro Bay. And so, you know, this would be, if it was during the school year, a program that really focus on our own community here, you know, Los Osos, Cayucas, Morro Bay, our own kids, and taking care of them and make sure that they're the priority during the year, if possible. So
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very good.
Yes, that is very good. What's next with that?
When we settle down here a little bit and I get my recreation supervisor up to speed and make him full time, we'll see if we can start adding in additional programs like this. And we'll take a look at what we can do. And we might be able to draw from some of our staff at the swimming pool who are surfers. They're not ocean lifeguard certified, but if I can find somebody that is ocean lifeguard certified, who would be willing to run a non-summer junior lifeguard program, I think that'd be a great thing to do. So we'll do a little exploring on our side.
Okay. So is there anything that we need to do to agendize any of this, or
no?
No, I think I just keep harassing everybody about it.
Okay.
Tell it's a yes or a no.
we'll ask Commissioner Davis to rally up some friends and get some kids together, and then we'll put something together and we'll...
I'll get those kids.
Okay. There we go.
Very good. Yeah, thank you, Melissa.
Yeah.
So, that's it for aquatic activities. May I have a motion to receive and file?
A motion to receive and file? I make.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, seeing no opposition, we'll move on to program C3. We've received and filed the aquatic activities. Program C3, another program evaluation, Trunk or Treat 2021. Is that back to you, Kirk?
That's me.
Oh, great. Good. And yeah, okay.
all right. Well, this was our first ever Trunk or Treat, and we have the trick or treat down in the downtown Morro Bay, but with COVID and, you know, fear of not wanting to like plan something huge and then not be able to have it, as well as a lot of our businesses not being open on a Sunday and Halloween falling on a Sunday, we decided to do a trunk or treat event. Basically, it was in our parking lot at the community center. We had we partnered with Chamber, and Chamber reached out to businesses and other community service programs and wanted to see who wanted to participate in this. We had a good amount of participants. I'd say we had our loyal amount of participants, the people that have always supported us. I was really happy to have those guys out. We had people like Mike's Barbershop, of course, who I feel like his heart is so into Halloween, so that was great. We had like Foundation, the Morro Bay Active Adults. We had our Shoreline Calvary Chapel Church come out and do their bounce house. And then we had just like fire, police, the trolley, as well as just some other businesses who just like to come out and support. We also had a carnival. We did our face paint, all the things that recreation typically has, games. And I was proud of this event because we weren't sure how it was going to go, and we ended up having 284 registered participants. So it was great. I'd say we estimated about 1,000 people at the event itself. I was proud of it, like I said. To be COVID conscious is what I would say. We limited participants to hour slots, and that was it so that we could kind of like make sure the flow of traffic was there. We weren't ever overcrowded. And also, so I knew to tell our chunk participants how many kids to expect so that they had enough candy for everyone. So basically, we were about 97% cost recovery. Really, our highest is our staffing, but I feel it's really important to have our recreation staff out there for many reasons. One, they know the kids love seeing them, and then those are the ones who run the carnivals, face painting, and all of that stuff. So, I would say we were pretty even in what we brought in and what we spent, and I think really, for being the first time we have ever had this event, I think for the thing I got most out of it was to hold events in our parking lot at the community center. It's a safe place. It's kind of great in that if I had to turn anything into a drive-through, right there is where your drive-through is. And selfishly, I loved it because our office is upstairs and that's where I keep all our supplies. And so when I forgot something, I could just run upstairs. But it was a great location. I think that was what I took most out of it, was that I was able to notice our area and that we can host other events there. So that's why our outdoor breakfast with Santa will be out there. I don't predict that we'll be doing this again. I predict that we'll probably go back to the downtown everybody trick-or-treat thing. But again, it kind of opened our eyes to a possibility that we could do this. And yeah. Any questions about trunk or treat?
Well, you went smoothly. Great job.
Great job. I have a bunch of friends that went down there with their little kids, and they all had a super awesome time. And so if you haven't had any feedback yet, just know that a lot of people had a really great time, and it was a huge success. So thank you for doing all that work.
Awesome. Thanks, Melissa. Yeah, we've had tons of positive feedback. Everyone loved it. A lot of our families loved a couple things. They loved that it was safe. You know, crossing that street with your little guys when you're downtown Morro Bay, it gets scary for these families. And they loved that they could just walk around, run around. Their kids could have a nice area, a safe area to be. So that was a big positive from a lot of our participants. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Laura, thank you. Sounds great. So may we have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion to receive and file C3.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Of course not. Oh, seeing no opposition, we received and filed Trunk or Treat. I love the name also. Our next agenda item would be C4, the staff report, Proposition 68, per capita.
That one's back to me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, it is. I see it is.
All right. And this was a standing item that we had just as a verbal report. And just to bring you guys up to speed, this grant and the projects that go with the grant have been moved to our Public Works Department. We are again focusing on Coleman Park. Again, as we had discussed in the past, there's a few different grant opportunities available. The first one that we went after was the per capita, which was a set amount of dollars given to each city and or county throughout the state for other organizations and agencies as well. And we were set for $177,000. That application was again submitted, and we should be receiving those funds soon. The focus of that, of the first phase, is to replace the Coleman Park bathroom. So that still stands as is, the bathroom replacement, along with that additional space on the back side of the bathrooms, where we can offer up a possible storage area or some area where we can lease to a vendor. You know, so it could be anywhere from a coffee shop to, you know, stand up paddle boards. You know, so it's really wide open. It really depends on who wants to jump in on and take advantage of that space. We did have a couple of community meetings where we were looking for input. And those were actually very well attended. I think one of them had 25 or so folks, and the other had, I think, 30. So right in there. Don't quote me on the numbers, but pretty darn close. And great input, great participation. And what we're looking for at that time was really taking a look at the entire Coleman Park, really from north of the basketball courts, or excuse me, west, I would say, of the basketball courts, all the way to the east, down where boats or kayaks and such are launched down by the water intake building. So we're looking at that whole stretch of land to try to develop and come up with some kind of a master plan. That's what the intent of the community meetings were. So as far as where that sits right now, it's still again at Public Works, and we're kind of sifting through these thoughts and trying to come up with some kind of plan. But again, the funding that we received is number one for the restroom. And then our second phase, or it could be, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, we don't really know at this time, but we have to go out and seek additional grant funding. So that is in the works again under the Proposition 68 funds that are available through state parks. So that application is in the process right now, being submitted. I believe it's due sometime in January, I want to say. So we've got to move swiftly to figure out, you know, what we're going to do as far as a project, and then package that up into something we could submit to the state. I do know we're at a little bit of a disadvantage here, because this is a competitive grant.
And oftentimes, well, let me back up. It's a competitive grant where points are awarded for various categories, such as, you know, do you have a master plan in place? Have you conducted public hearings? You know, things like that that help you to acquire the points to be competitive. We're at a disadvantage in that we don't have a master plan. We don't have a specific park planner on our staff. We don't have a grant writer on staff. We're a small city, and we're going up against big agencies like, you know, big cities in Los Angeles, or even locally here, we're going up against county parks, who has a staff person on board who does park planning specifically. So it's a bit of a challenge for us, but we're giving it a shot. We're working towards not necessarily a formal master plan, but some type of a plan that we can use to show that we are, you know, attempting to put a project together and that we are worthy of receiving some funds. So I'm happy to report up in January what we're looking like at that time, and possibly with some kind of a set of plans. Again, I don't know exactly where they are. I'm involved, but not heavily involved, because it's been turned over again to the Public Works Office, who I can't remember the gal's title, but Pam Newman is leading this effort, and she's working towards work on this plan. So as things do develop and come through, I will keep you all informed as to the progress of that. So that's kind of it on Prop 68 and what's going on with the Coleman Park restroom and then the rest of it. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. That was easy.
Will there be another meeting about it?
Another public hearing?
Public
meeting? I don't think so, but there very well could be, and I haven't heard anything more specific yet at this time, if we need to do that again.
Okay.
But we are taking suggestions still, so if you were not able to attend that meeting, you know, we had maps of the whole area, and, you know, we're asking you to go ahead and list, you know, what your thoughts or your desires are. And ideas, and go ahead and put them down and submit to either to my office or to the Public Works Director.
Are there other grant avenues that the city can apply for, like, you know, different large environmental nonprofits also provide grants, like Sierra Club or things like that. Are those options that the city is on the city's radar, or...
I can't say that it's on the city's radar. I can say that those certainly are out there.
Yeah.
There's funding out there. And I'm trying to pull up an email right now, but it's not working for me. But there should be funding coming through that is going to be made available based on this most recent Build Better plan from the president. It'll trickle down to local parks and waterways, harbors, marinas, things like that. So we might be able to get our hooks into some of those funds, which will certainly help this area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
May I have a motion to receive and file C4 staff report?
I'll make the motion to receive and file the C4 staff report.
A second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing no opposition, C4 staff report, Prop 68 per capita is received and filed. Moving along to Bocce Ball, C5 staff report. That's up to you, Mr. Carmichael, once again.
That's me again, isn't it? Let's see, I just got my computer fired back up, and I was looking for the correct language on the build back, however that went.
Now, build back better.
I'm not finding the darn thing. What is it?
Build back bathroom.
Yeah, build back the bathroom better.
That's right. Yeah. Morro Bay bathroom. Coleman Park bathroom. Go to bath.
There it is.
It doesn't go under the infrastructure bill that just passed? We can't get any of that for infrastructure down there?
That's what it's called, is the Build Back Better. That's what the infrastructure bill is called.
No, that's the other one that they're trying to pass now, I think.
Is that when you build a bridge across the bay?
5 million.
Yeah, it's a Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And then a funding opportunity. So I have an email about that, and that's what we're talking about, is a $1.2 trillion in funding.
Right.
So, anyway. So,
a piece of that.
Yes. So back to item C5, update on bocce. Yeah, we've been doing this bocce update for a number of years now, but we are back. We met again a couple months ago. It was with the couple of folks from the Church of the Nazarene El Moro out of Los Osos. And our public works staff, and along with myself, to have general discussion again about the bocce court. We're back. We are back to the drawing board because the greenhouse project has been pulled. They are finding somewhere else to place their the greenhouse. That would be Morro Bay. Morro Bay and Bloom.
Bloom.
Thank you.
In Bloom.
To make sure I get those two organizations correct, or I can get in trouble. So that's out, and now we're looking at expanding the courts. So we're moving them from what was like a backyard recreational size court to more of a club size. So it's about 73 feet in length instead of 60 feet in length, and then another wider. So we figured if we had a space, we should go ahead and use it and make it so where we can go ahead and have some, maybe a tournament or whatnot out there. And then also are taking a different look at it as far as, you know, we do need some kind of a pad or something like that where, you know, maybe we want to pop up a tent and set up a couple tables to do a host, some kind of an event or whatnot on that corner. So we're back at the drawing board. With the plans that that Public Works Office had worked on a couple of years ago. The same gal that's working on Coleman Park, Pam Newman, she'll be working on this as well, her and then another staff person in the office of this redesign. So looking forward to seeing what comes of that. But we are poised and ready to go again and gathering up the volunteer staff, and we're looking at hopefully moving forward in the spring of 2022. So I believe we broke ground February of 2020, and then right after we broke down, COVID hit and we shut down. So 2 years later, we're trying to resurrect and do it again. So I'm hoping to see the plans, and I should be meeting again with Public Works Office sometime, next month, to see where we sit, and hopefully can bring back something a little more concrete for you all in January. That's what I have there. Questions along those lines? Or about this project, or...
Nice to see you're picking it up. Nice to see that we're picking it up again.
Yes. Yeah. We want to use that corner. We're still working with the senior center as they are. They've offered up some funding, and then they're also going to be the organization that's going to check out the equipment for use to the general public as well as the seniors.
As I recall, there was a kind of a low spot there, and it was going to take quite a bit of engineering to make it up to grade and for wheelchair access and all of that sort of thing. Like,
yes.
Kind of a bigger project than we had envisioned to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, embarrassingly, when we first talked about this, I know, I think it was with the seniors group and maybe your commission, you know, we thought we'd get out there, throw a couple of railroad ties down, put a little bit of granite down and call it a day. No, like $40,000 later, we have to
to retaining walls and drainage and everything. So I was a bit naive and I guess a little excited about, you know, using that lot somehow. So, it's really blossomed into a heck of a project, and we'll probably be seeing increases in the amounts of construction costs and whatnot. But we're moving forward. I have the city support still. We've got the funding, so it's not going to die. The only thing that could hang us up is if they decide to sell a lot. But it is, it's a temporary, we call it a temporary improvement to that corner, because I think 20 some odd years ago, the intent was to build a new civic center on that whole, the whole property, which encompasses City Hall, and then around the corner to the annex, as well as that residence that's on the corner of right next to the bocce court where it's proposed. So the intent again was a civic center. It doesn't look like that's in the makings for a while, so we want to use this corner for something, and here it comes. So that's what I have on the bocce court.
Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll get out there, hopefully before I retire.
Well, we never give up. Yeah, before we're still around to use it.
Yeah.
And if they sell a lot, they have to make sure they put the house on stilts so you still use the court.
Hey, there's an idea. All right.
Okay, so may I have a remote motion to receive and accept the report for file?
I make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Seeing no opposition, we'll receive and file this report. Next on our agenda item would be future agenda items. Any future agenda items we have?
I'd like to keep talking about this potential junior guard extension program through the school year. So I don't know if we need to keep agendizing it, but I'd like to keep talking about it until there's a no or a yes. So I'll just say that.
So to agendize, you need somebody else to agree with you there, and
I'll agree with that. We can agendize it.
There we go.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's do that.
All right.
If I have something with a little bit of meat to it, I'll put a report together. Otherwise, it'll be very similar to the bocce or Prop 68 standing to verbal report.
How do we get some meat? How do we get that meat?
As I had mentioned earlier, once our new recreation supervisor kind of levels himself out and we can move him into a full-time position, he should have some time to try to expand our offerings. But okay. At this time, he's focused on youth sports and adult sports. In the greater scheme of things, he would be handling the swimming pool and our junior lifeguard program as well as the events. He's not at that point yet.
Okay.
Those are on my plate. So once we can kind of shift things out and get leveled out, we'll probably take some time to jump into something like that.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll take it.
There we go.
Good.
I'd like to still see us keep the conversation going about the fitness walk down there in the boardwalk.
At the Lade Memorial?
Yeah, the fitness whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, that was part of the greater conversation that we had with the Coleman Park master plan. And that was, again, part of that conversation. And many folks did discuss putting some type of a workout element along that area. So I'm curious to see, you know, what comes of their findings and how we want to move forward with that. But I'd be happy to report back on that too. Commissioner Swain.
Okay. I know last time we talked about it, said they wanted like $40,000 or $50,000 for the workout stuff. Well, I got it where you don't need anything. I got the plans where you work with what's there, and it's free. All you need is maybe $50 for each little sign you could put up at each place.
Gotcha. Okay. Maybe I'll bring you in in our next conversation that we have, Bob?
And I would love to.
Okay, when I meet up with the Public Works Office, I'll see if I can get you involved.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Very good evening. So, what I'm hearing is it's time to adjourn.
Oh, I have one last thing for you to adjourn.
Oh, you do?
For all you astronomy, people, tonight, the longest lunar eclipse in 580 years is out. I got it right here. Starts at 10:02, and the partial begins at 11:18. The maximum is at 1:02, and then it ends at 2:47, and then the penumbrium ends at 4:03. So the whole night you can be out there if the clouds move away. I haven't been out there lately, but it was perfect last night, so I hope it is tonight.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah,
it sounds good. Something to do during the night in case those night owl people.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Good.
That's it.
What else?
I think we got it there, Mr. Chairman.
That it? Okay. Well, let's adjourn this meeting. Our next regular meeting will be 6 p.m. Thursday, January the 22nd, 2020. It's also via teleconference. How long are we going to be doing the teleconferences, Mr. Carmichael? What do you think?
We'll continue on until we get the firm direction from city administration about moving back to the Vets Hall. At this time, we are taking a look at the improvements necessary to do I don't want to call it a joint meeting, but it's a dual meeting almost, where some of it will be via Zoom, some of it will be in person, as there are many folks who still don't want to come out to a meeting. One of our other holdups is COVID testing that takes place at the Vets Hall, and they're Monday through Friday and contracted through March. So I know that's going to be a bit of a hiccup for us to, we don't want to run that out of the building. So it's not up to me, but that's what I understand is we're trying to get the processes in place, for us to move forward. So once city council goes, in person, then we can do that as well.
Thank you.
All right.
One more thing. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thank you very much.
And
we'll see you next year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Have a nice night.
Good night.
Yes, thanks. You be safe. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
We're adjourned here at 7:07.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.